a schmaltzy song from the 70s, or an issue everybody in recovery has to look at? We're going to look at feelings today in this episode of Recovery Support with Kevin Bergen. This is Recovery Support, and I'm Kevin Bergen, licensed psychotherapist. This show is to support those in recovery from sexually compulsive behavior and to offer that support with education, inspiration, and motivation. It's so cliche today to talk about feelings, but we all happen to be humans, and humans are emotional beings. So many in recovery have been acting out to medicate some kind of pain or escape some form of difficulty. Many have said that they actually don't want to feel. And when they experience sobriety, they realize that they can feel, and with feeling, they become more human, more authentic, and more complete. Today I'd like to read from a book that many of my clients have found very helpful. It's called Codependent No More, and it's by Melanie Beatty. Now, keep in mind, I realize I'm speaking to recovering sex addicts and not your partners. It's usually your partners who get referred to as codependents. But this chapter is about feelings, and there's a lot of material here that applies to you as well as your partners. As I read, please substitute the words sex addict for the word codependent. Just see how much of this actually does apply to you. Reading from the book Codependent No More by Melanie Beatty, page 141, chapter 13, Feel Your Own Feelings. John Powell is quoted as saying, "When I repress my emotions, my stomach keeps score." "I used to facilitate groups to help people deal with their feelings," says the wife of an alcoholic. "I used to openly express my emotions. Now, after 8 years in this relationship, I couldn't tell you what I was feeling if my life depended on it." As codependents, we frequently lose touch with the emotional part of ourselves. Sometimes, we withdraw emotionally to avoid being crushed. Being emotionally vulnerable is dangerous. Hurt becomes piled upon hurt, and no one seems to care. It becomes safer to go away. We become overloaded with pain, so we short-circuit to protect ourselves. We may withdraw emotionally from certain people we think may hurt us. We don't trust them, so we hide the emotional part of us when we're around them. Sometimes we feel forced to withdraw our emotions. Family systems suffering from the effects of alcoholism and other disorders reject emotional honesty and at times appear to demand dishonesty. Consider our attempts to tell a drunk how we felt about him or her smashing up the car, ruining the birthday party, or throwing up in our bed. Our feelings may provoke unpleasant reactions in others, such as anger. Expressing our feelings may even be dangerous to our physical well-being because they rock the family boat. Even families that have no history of alcoholism reject feelings. "Don't feel that way. That feeling is inappropriate. In fact, don't even feel," may be the message we hear. We quickly learn the lie that our feelings don't count, that our feelings are somehow wrong. Our feelings are not listened to, so we quit listening to them too. It may appear easier at times to not feel. We have so much responsibility because we've taken on so much responsibility for the people around us. We must do what is necessary anyway. Why take the time to feel? What would it change? Sometimes we try to make our feelings disappear because we're afraid of them. To acknowledge how we really feel would demand a decision, action, or change on our part. It would bring us face to face with reality. We would become aware of what we're thinking, what we want, and what we need to do. And we're not ready to do that yet. Codependents are oppressed, depressed, and repressed. Many of us can quickly tell what someone else is feeling, why that person is feeling that way, how long they've felt that way, and what that person is probably going to do because of that feeling. Many of us spend our lives fussing about other people's feelings. We try to fix people's feelings. We try to control other people's feelings. We don't want to hurt people. We don't want to upset them. And we don't want to offend them. We feel so responsible for other people's feelings. Yet, we don't know what we're feeling. If we do, we don't know what to do to fix ourselves. Many of us have abandoned or never taken responsibility of our emotional selves. Just how important are feelings anyway? Before I answer that question, let me tell you about when I was in treatment for chemical dependency at Willmar State Hospital, Willmar, Minnesota, in 1973. I was faced with kicking a 10-year habit of alcohol, heroin, morphine, methadone, cocaine, barbiturate, amphetamine, marijuana, and any other substance that even remotely promised to change the way I felt. When I asked my counselor and other counselors how to do this, they replied, "Deal with your feelings." They also suggested I attend Alcoholics Anonymous. More on that later. I did start dealing with my feelings. It felt terrible at first. I had emotional explosions that I thought would rip the top off my head. But it worked. I experienced my first days and months of sobriety. Then it came time to leave treatment. I was faced with the unlikely prospect of trying to fit myself into society. I had no resume. It can be difficult for a heroin addict to find and maintain gainful employment. I had to discontinue my relationships with everyone I knew who used chemicals, which was everyone I knew. My family was skeptical about my recovery and still understandably peeved about some of the things I had done. Generally, I had left a trail of destruction and chaos behind me, and I didn't think there was any place in society for me. My life stretched ahead of me, and it held little promise. At the same time, my counselor was telling me to go ahead and start living. Again, I asked her exactly how should I do that. Again, she and others replied, "Keep dealing with your feelings. Go to AA, and everything will be okay." It sounded a bit simplistic to me, but I didn't have much choice. Amazingly, and thanks to the help of a higher power, it's worked so far. I got into deep water with my codependency when I thought myself too sophisticated to deal with feelings. The moral of this story is that dealing with feelings and going to AA can help us recover from chemical dependency. But it goes beyond that, and it answers the question I asked earlier, how important are feelings? Feelings are not the end-all and be-all to living. Feelings must not dictate or control our behaviors, but we can't ignore our feelings either. They won't be ignored. Our feelings are very important. They count. They matter. The emotional part of us is special. If we make feelings go away, if we push them away, we lose an important part of us and our lives. Feelings are our source of joy as well as sadness, fear, and anger. The emotional part of us is the part that laughs as well as cries. The emotional part of us is the center for giving and receiving the warm glow of love. That part of us lets us feel close to people. That part of us lets us enjoy touch and other sensual feelings. Our feelings are also indicators. When we feel happy, comfortable, warm, and content, we usually know all is well in our world. For the present moment, anyway. When we feel uncomfortable with fear, anger, or sadness, our feelings are telling us there's a problem. The problem may be inside us, something we're doing or thinking, or it may be external, but something is going wrong. Feelings can be positive motivators, too. Anger can motivate us to solve a bothersome problem. Fear encourages us to run from danger. Repeated hurt and emotional pain tell us to stay away. Our feelings can also provide us with clues to ourselves, our desires, wants, and ambitions. They help us discover ourselves, what we are really thinking. Our emotions also tap into that deep part of us that seeks and knows truth and desires self-preservation, self-enhancement, safety, and goodness. Our emotions are connected to our conscious, cognitive thought process and to that mysterious gift called instinct or intuition. There is, however, a darker side of emotions. Emotional pain hurts. It can hurt so badly, we think all we are or ever will be is our emotional part. Pain and sadness can linger. Fear can be a stopper. It can prevent us from doing the things we want and need to do in our lives. Sometimes we get stuck in emotions, trapped in a well of a certain dark feeling, and we think we'll never get out. Anger can fester into resentments and bitterness and threaten to linger indefinitely. Sadness can turn into depression, almost smothering us. Some of us live with fear for long periods of time. Our feelings can trick us, too. Our emotions can lead us into situations where our heads tell us not to go. Sometimes feelings are like cotton candy. They appear to be more than they actually are. In spite of the darker side of emotions, the painful ones, the ones that linger, and the tricky ones, there is an even bleaker picture if we choose to become unemotional. Not feeling our feelings, withdrawing emotionally, and pushing that part of us away can be unpleasant, unhealthy, and self-destructive. Repressing or denying feelings can lead to headaches, stomach disorders, backaches, and generally weakened physical conditions, which can open the door to many illnesses. Repressing feelings, particularly if we are doing it during the denial stage of the grief process, can lead us into trouble with overeating, undereating, alcohol, and other drug use, compulsive sexual behaviors, compulsive spending, not sleeping enough, sleeping too much, obsessing, controlling gestures, and other compulsive behaviors. Feelings are energy. Repressed feelings block our energy. We don't do our best when we're blocked. Another problem with repressed feelings is they don't go away. They linger, sometimes growing stronger and causing us to do many peculiar things. We have to stay one step ahead of the feeling. We have to stay busy. We have to do something. We don't dare get quiet and peaceful because we might feel these emotions. And the feeling might squeak out anyway, causing us to do something we never intended to do. Scream at the kids, kick the cat, spill on our favorite dress, or cry at the party. We get stuck in feelings because we're trying to repress them. And like a persistent neighbor, they will not go away until we acknowledge their presence. The big reason for not repressing feelings is that emotional withdrawal causes us to lose our positive feelings. We lose the ability to feel. Sometimes this may be a welcome relief if the pain becomes too great or too constant, but this is not a good plan for living. We may shut down our deep needs, our need to love and be loved, when we shut down our emotions. We may lose our ability to enjoy sex, the human touch. We lose the ability to feel close to people, otherwise known as intimacy. We lose our capacity to enjoy the pleasant things in life. We lose touch with ourselves and our environment. We are no longer in touch with our instincts. We become unaware of what our feelings are telling us and any problems in our environment. We lose the motivating power of feelings. If we aren't feeling, we're probably not examining the thinking that goes with it, and we don't know what ourselves are telling us. And if we don't deal with our feelings, we don't change, and we don't grow. We stay stuck. Feelings might not always be a barrel of gladness, but repressing them can be downright miserable. So what's the solution? What do we do with these pesky feelings that seem to be both a burden and a delight? We feel them. We can feel. It's okay to feel our feelings. It's okay for us to have feelings, all of them. It's even okay for men to feel. Feelings are not wrong. They're not inappropriate. We don't need to feel guilty about feelings. Feelings are not acts. Feeling homicidal rage is entirely different from committing homicide. Feelings shouldn't be judged as either good or bad. Feelings are emotional energy. They are not personality traits. People say there are hundreds of different feelings, ranging from peeved to miffed to exuberant to delighted and so on. Some therapists have cut this list to 4: mad, sad, glad, and scared. These are the 4 primary feeling groups, and all the rest are shades and variations. For instance, lonely and down in the dumps would fall into the sad category. Anxiety and nervousness would be variations of the scared theme. Tickled pink and happy would qualify as glad. You can call them whatever you want. The important idea is to feel them. That doesn't mean you have to always be on guard for one feeling or the other. It doesn't mean we have to devote an extraordinary amount of our lives to wallowing in emotional muck. In fact, dealing with our feelings means we can move out of the muck. It means if a feeling, emotional energy, comes our way, we feel it. We take a few moments, acknowledge the sensation, and move on to the next step. We don't censor. We don't block. We don't run from. We don't tell ourselves, "Don't feel that. Something must be wrong with me." We don't pass judgment on ourselves for our feelings. We experience them. We allow the energy to pass through our bodies, and we accept it as being our emotional energy, our feeling. We say, "Okay." Next, we do that mystical thing so many people refer to as dealing with our feelings. We appropriately respond to our emotion. We examine the thoughts that go with it, and we accept them without repression or censorship. Then we decide whether there is a next step. This is where we do our judging. This is where our moral code comes into play. We still don't judge ourselves for having the feeling. We decide what, if anything, we want to do about the feeling and the accompanying thought. We evaluate the situation, then choose a behavior in line with our moral code and our new ideal of self-care. Is there a problem we need to solve? Is our thinking off base? We may need to correct certain disaster-oriented thought patterns, such as, "I feel horribly afraid and sad because the car broke down and it's the end of the world." It would be more accurate to say, "I feel sad that the car's broken." Is the problem something we can solve? Does it concern another person? Is it necessary or appropriate to discuss the feeling with that person? If so, when? Perhaps it's sufficient to merely feel the emotion and acknowledge the thought. If you're in doubt about what action to take, if the feeling is particularly strong, or if the action you decide to take is radical, I suggest waiting a day or so until you're peaceful and your mind is consistent. In other words, detach. Our feelings don't need to control us. Just because we're angry, we don't have to scream and hit. Just because we're sad or depressed, we don't have to lie in bed all day. Just because we're scared doesn't mean we don't apply for that job. I'm not in any way implying or suggesting we allow our emotions to control our behaviors. In fact, what I'm saying is the opposite. If we don't feel our feelings and deal with them responsibly, they will control us. If we're dealing with our emotions responsibly, we submit them to our intellect, our reason, and our moral and behavioral code of ethics. Responding appropriately to our feelings also means we're liable for our feelings. Each person's feelings are his or her own. Nobody makes anyone feel. No one is ultimately responsible for our feelings except us, no matter how much we insist they are. People might help us feel, but they don't make us feel. People also can't change the way we feel. Only we can do that. Furthermore, we're not responsible for anyone else's feelings, although we are responsible for choosing to be considerate of people's feelings. Responsible people choose to do that at times. However, most codependents choose to overdo that. We need to be considerate of our feelings, too. Our feelings are reactions to life's circumstances. Thus, etiquette requires that when you discuss a feeling with someone, you say, "I feel such and such when you do such and such because," not, "You made me feel." However, we may want to make another decision about how to deal with our feelings. This is especially true if we are consistently reacting to someone's behavior with a great deal of emotional distress, and even after reporting this distress to the person, he or she continues causing us pain. Maybe you don't need that much help to feel. Remember, feelings are indicators and motivators. Watch for patterns in our feelings. They tell us a great deal about ourselves and our relationships. Sometimes dealing with feelings means a change of thinking is needed. Many therapies acknowledge a direct correlation between what we think and what we feel. There is a connection. What we think influences how we feel. Sometimes inaccurate, overreactive, or inappropriate thought patterns cause our emotions or cause them to remain longer than necessary. If we think something is awful, will never get better, and just shouldn't be, our feelings will be intense. I call this disaster thinking. That's why it's important, after we feel our emotions, to examine our thinking. Get it out in the light. If it's inappropriate, then we know what we have to do to solve our problem, don't we? There are times when we may need to discuss our feelings and thoughts with other people. It is not healthy to live our lives in isolation. Sharing the emotional part of us with others creates closeness and intimacy. Also, being accepted by someone else for being who we are helps us accept ourselves. This is always a marvelous experience. Sometimes we may want to discuss things with a friend who will just listen, while we air things to try to figure out what's going on. Things we lock inside can get too big and too powerful. Letting them out in the air makes them smaller. We gain perspective. It's always fun to share the pleasant feelings too, the joys, the successes, the tickled pinks. And if we want an intimate relationship with someone, we need to discuss our persistent feelings with him or her. It's called emotional honesty. Now here's a caution. Intense happy feelings can be as distracting and scary as intense sad feelings, especially to codependents who are not used to happy feelings. Many codependents believe happy feelings must always be followed by sad feelings, because that is the way it has usually happened in the past. Some codependents believe we can't, shouldn't, and don't deserve to feel happy. Sometimes we do things to create sad feelings after experiencing happy feelings, or whenever the possibility of a happy feeling exists. It's okay to feel happy. It's okay to feel sad. Let the emotional energy pass through and strive for peace and balance. There are times when we may need professional help to deal with our emotions. If we're stuck in any particular feeling, we should give ourselves what we need. See a counselor, a therapist, a psychoanalyst, or a clergyman. Take care of ourselves. We deserve it. We may also want to seek professional help if we've been repressing feelings for a long period of time, or if we suspect that what we've been repressing is intense. Sometimes it just takes a little practice and awareness to awaken the emotional part of us. The following things help me get in touch with my feelings: physical exercise, writing letters I don't intend to send, talking to people I feel safe with, and spending quiet time in meditation. We need to make awareness of ourselves a habit. We need to pay attention to the shouldn't feel that way attitudes we tell ourselves. We need to pay attention to our level of comfortableness. We need to listen to what we're thinking and saying and the tone of voice we use. We need to keep an eye on what we're doing. We will find our way to and through our emotions, a way that works for us. We need to invite emotions into our lives, then make a commitment to take gentle, loving care of them. Feel our feelings, trust our feelings, and trust ourselves. We are wiser than we think. That's all the reading that we're going to be doing today, and I hope you get something from this reading, for there's so much that addicts need to understand about their feelings. So long, addicts have been dead to their feelings. Addicts need to wake up. Addicts need to understand this idea of feelings is what's going to connect them back to their life again. I'd like to close today with the third step prayer, found on page 63 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 95 of the SA White Book, or by Googling third step prayer. Please join me. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. Please email me with questions, with feedback, with commentary at kbrecoverysupport@gmail.com. And in the spirit of the seventh tradition, I do accept contributions to cover the expenses of this podcast, and you can donate via PayPal through the link on the show notes page, which is at recoverysupport.podbean.com. Also remember that the Recovery Support Podcast does not promote any program or fellowship and only informs about resources that I have found helpful to my clients. Have a terrific week and have a sober day.